edition of the Stack Pack. Perhaps you can help solve a mystery. That's right, guys. Stack Pack hanging out here. This is our last episode covering Volume 1 of the Netflix rebooted Unsolved Mysteries. I'm David Howell, joined by the gorgeous Rodan, as always. What's up?
I've actually legally changed my name. I'm no longer Rodan. I'm now just Home Dan.
He's just Home Dan, yeah. I think he said
did
that
you finally,
he
I
said
know that you were a couple trying, of episodes ago. I know you were going to, you thought about it. Is it official now? Did you do it?
Oh, like on your Instagram?
Did you actually change it on Instagram?
You got
to change. No, I just went to the courthouse and had my birth certificate changed. New social security cards coming in next week. Getting my driver's license, though, was a fucking bitch because
they're like, okay, so you want to change your first name to Home and your last name to Dan?
Yeah. And they're just like, no, it's just one word. Like, you know, Prince became a symbol. I just want to be a one word Home Dan.
And of course, Eli, as you can hear, joining us from deep in the heart of Texas. What's up, bud?
Deep in the heart of Texas.
I think didn't you do the clap after or is it before? Oh, no, you're right.
No. Yeah. No,
I'm a poser, Texas. And then our buddy Alon Lee Cohen is joining us to sit in and kind of, you know, I mean, we've all seen this. Everyone's seen the Netflix Unsolved Mysteries by now. So
he's going to give he's going to give us 2 cents.
Yep.
And that
maybe
was it.
1 cent.
That's just all.
Anyways,
cent,
we were talking. Okay. So I wanted to hurry up and record because we were talking about Alon brought up how that this episode that we're talking about, we know who did it. We know.
Everyone knows who did it.
Yeah, what does the guy say?
Wait, who did it?
Sandy.
Say for instance somebody gets murdered, right? And they know who did it and they know they have the murder weapon, they have the body, whatever. And then when the murder charge comes in, people get pissed when they're like, "Oh, they need to hang them. They need to put them like death penalty." But if they don't have enough, like if the prosecutor doesn't have enough evidence to charge somebody, they don't go for the death penalty because they'd rather go for, you know, first degree murder or second degree murder, or they go with what they know is going to put them in jail.
The sheriff says something along the lines towards the end of the episode where he's like, there's a difference between knowing something like deep in your soul and proving it.
Yeah. Proving it.
And that's pretty the frustration of this case.
You find a body,
I'll take a polygraph. That's just a little tidbit because a lot of people get pissed off. They're like, they should have charged him with more. And it's like, oh, well, they might, they probably could have if they had more on the guy. Like if they knew that it was a slam dunk case and they're like, we're going to put this guy away.
Who, Chris? That's what
not just Chris. Like just, I'm just
everybody, just general.
Because people get upset on social media. Yeah. Like, they should have charged him with more. That's like a terrible crime.
It's like you don't know how the justice system works. They need to prove a crime before they can put somebody away for it.
Yeah. And they'd rather put them for a lesser crime to get them punished because they know that they could actually prove that crime rather than charging them with the highest crime and it getting dismissed and then they're walking free. So little things like that.
The story is super depressing, but also probably like Eli was saying, or I don't know if you said it on air yet, but one of the more solvable volume.
This is also like one of the best episodes. Like, I mean, there's so much detail that we can look into on this that.
And I think she had like a social media account that she deleted.
Yeah. Oh, Sandy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? What kind of social media account?
She was on Facebook and there was pictures of her and Coulter.
Wow. Yeah. Does she have a Twitter or anything?
I mean, it's all gone now. All right. So this story takes place in the Ozark Mountains in Missouri. The main focal point of this would probably be Sandy Peterson. But there's a lot of twists and turns. But let's just say she's the big bad. She's like the Thanos, the dark side, the pawn shop guys from Pulp Fiction that rape poor Bruce Willis.
no, they didn't rape Bruce Willis. They raped.
What's his name? Michael Clark Duncan? No, Ving Rhames.
No. Ving Rhames. The other bald black man.
It is Ving Rhames. It's Ving Rhames. Yeah, those fuckers. Yeah, no, Ving Rhames is still with us. Michael Clark Duncan, rest in peace. Pour some out if you guys are drinking. You can hear us. We're drinking anyway. So that guy. So she's a piece of shit.
Are there any poppy fields involved in this story by chance? Well, I mean,
no poppy fields.
You say Ozarks. You say Ozarks.
Oh yeah, yeah. Lots of poppies.
Yeah.
Probably. That's funny.
Is there a casino involved?
This story literally seems like it could be a plot thread in Ozark.
In the same universe.
Yeah, right? Like the Trailer Park Family. Like, you know, that is fucking crazy. I didn't put Sandy, those two together.
Did Sandy have a cage of bobcats?
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about the Peterson family in general. Mainly the story's told by two of the six sisters. Brandy will be, and Robin tell most of the story, but Brandy tells us that her sister Lena went missing in 2006. She was the oldest. Lena was the second oldest, but she was kind of more subservient to the mom,
maybe call her the alpha. She was definitely the favorite.
Yeah. One of the cops later on says that it was clear that the mom's the boss and she was the number two. Lena's the number two. So Lena went missing in 2006. By this point, she wasn't living with the mom. She had an apartment with her boyfriend, Jason. When Robin, one of the sisters, goes to the apartment, Jason says that Lena took off to Florida with some guy, and that's what the mom had told her. And Brandy's just like, I was hanging out with her. Like, we were close then.
Yeah, she calls bullshit.
There's no guy in Florida. Like, yeah, it's just not a thing. And she also told them that Lena had badmouthed all of them and didn't want anything to do with them. So I guess the daughters wouldn't try looking for her. I mean, that's what I'm guessing. But the weird stuff is that she doesn't take a goddamn personal item, a goddamn thing. She has a child at this point that she just leaves with her mom.
Doesn't even take the child.
Doesn't make any sense. All of her stuff, they just put it on the back porch of the house and it just kind of like almost got ruined.
Got rained on?
Yeah. It's she sucks at like covering up murders. It's bad.
You know who she'd be a good match with? Is what's his name from the other case where he changed the locks when his wife didn't come home?
Oh yeah, the girl from the salon,
Patrice's husband.
Yeah, her shitty husband. Like, I think they would be like the perfect power couple.
Rob Indris.
Yeah, Rob.
So Rob and Sandy. That's like the perfect power couple. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm still not convinced that Rob murdered her. But that's a conversation for
maybe a shitty guy.
But another weird thing is apparently she loved taking pictures. And this is another personal thing. All of her pictures were still there. She was all about capturing moments and stuff like that. So for Robin, when she finds out that Sandy has taken control or custody over Coulter, that Coulter is with Sandy, she knows, oh, this something's fucked. Like, this is not right. Like, immediately, you know. She would not leave her child. She loved that child. That child kind of brought her back. As we'll get into later, she, you know, gets into a little bit of depression, before her final days. So Detective Rick, he's this guy who originally works the case. After Lena goes missing, he talks to Brandy and gets kind of the lowdown on how the family works.
But the first detectives remind me of like good old boys. Like,
yeah, just, yeah. They're like, they got like cowboy hats and they're all retired old cowboy types.
They look like they get off work and drink a Budweiser because of the stress. Yeah. It's gotta be tough too. Like you think about like the resources that they have. They're not a big town. They don't have a lot of like forensics and like,
yeah, just talking to people. And basically this detective gets kind of a feel of how all that's how their childhood went down. And there's a lot of weirdness. Brandy initially talks about her mom being very loving and caring when they were really little girls. And she would say, God bless you and love you every night and put them to bed.
And that's crazy. That's crazy to me that like, it almost seems like she switched either that or she was hiding who she really was.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
So there's six daughters, Lena, Robin, Rachel, Rosie, Jeannie, and Brandy. The mom is Sandy. And she was, and apparently, like we said, yeah, Lena was the boss. She's the hip one. She's the alpha.
Why was only
she was only outspoken? One
interviewed.
There's two of them in there. I don't know. Probably a lot of them don't want to talk about it. They're probably too little, too little to remember any of it.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
And they could have interviewed some of them and just kind of not included them.
True.
Because they didn't really say anything different from the others, and you know.
Yeah.
Robin says that the weirdest thing about growing up was that they just didn't know what was going to happen next. Like, because she would go from boyfriend to boyfriend and they would move in from one house to another. And apparently she would never stay with a guy for more than 2 years.
You could kind of say she was like the town bicycle.
What, did everybody got a ride?
Well, she just got around.
I mean, yeah, but she lived all over. It wasn't really a town either.
Yeah, because they moved.
The daughters say that she liked married men and men with brothers. And we'll, yeah. And so let's talk about Albert McCullough, who is.
I love how they segued into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was
perfect.
See, that was I just perfect. Like men with big wallets.
So Albert McCullough was her second husband.
Just filled with business cards.
So Albert McCullough was her second husband. We're not going to get into her first cousin. Fuck it. Sorry, cousin?
Cousin fucking?
It might have been her cousin.
So Albert
the Ozarks.
So Albert McCullough was her second husband. According to Albert, she was really good with words. She could very easily get what she wanted. She was a good talker.
We're talking about Sandy.
Yeah, she was pretty enough. She was pretty enough for him, I guess. So it was easy for them to start hanging out, Albert and Sandy. Good at telling people what they wanted to hear is what he says.
A.K.A. manipulative.
Yeah, manipulative, yeah. And Brandy says he was, quote, a good dude. Great stepfather, fun, laid back, put them all in gymnastics. Yeah,
they said that they had a good time with him. Like, he was, you know, chill. He didn't really make them do a lot, but he was just a good dad.
Yeah, he'd take them down to the lake, and he'd put them in recreational stuff like aerobics and gymnastics.
Yeah, they had, like, fond memories of him, let's just say.
So the first 2-3 years were pretty good, Albert says, until Albert realizes that she's been sneaking around. And then he finds out that she's been sneaking around with his own goddamn brother, Gary McCullough. Yeah.
She be creeping while he be sleeping.
Dude. And then Albert even says, like, he's like, we got in a fight. He beat the shit out of me. I beat the shit out of him. Maybe not those. Maybe those aren't the exact words. She's like, and then Sandy like hit him with a stick and knocked the air out of him. So that's what stopped that. So that's kind of creepy.
And he told his brother, he said, I'd stay away from her. She's trouble.
So November 17th, 1994 is when Albert and Sandy get married. May 22nd is when she leaves Albert's ass for her brother, Gary, and they go and move into Gary's farm.
Dude. So
this is some white trash shit. I'm sorry.
Wait.
Fuck you.
I didn't get that in the timeline. When did she marry? What was the difference between the two brothers?
November and May.
Bigger penis.
Yeah. Not even.
It must have been.
Maybe. God. So not even a year.
So they moved from Arkansas, which is Albert's, to Missouri, which is Gary's farm. And the girls say that wasn't actually a terrible time. Like, they were taught to like take care of all the animals. There was cows and pigs and chickens and they had chores and they worked on a farm and it was fun. They cut wood.
No more playing games. We're going to get up and work. And the girls are thankful, by the way, for that. They're like, we can take care of ourselves because of this guy.
They liked him.
Right? Yeah, they liked both the McCulloughs. Yeah. Another interesting thing that they don't mention is you'll see a picture when they're living at Gary's and there's a couple blurred out girls, but Gary had daughters too. And I think some of the people that we should feel most sorry for or it's most tragic, this whole story we'll get into, but I feel like there should be a little more spotlight on Gary's daughters. Because they lost a lot too.
They probably didn't want to participate for sure.
Probably, yeah. They're definitely some of the victims in the aftermath. Yeah,
collateral damage.
Of this whole story. So now we get cool talking heads from Andrew Sheely, who's this reporter with insanely thin hair at the top. He hasn't really dealt with the idea that he's going bald. So he's got like long hair on the side.
He just keeps going longer.
He looks like a ghoul.
like a ghoul.
Yeah, and he just kind of runs down the whole, you know, she goes from guy to guy, and from Gary McCullough, she starts dating Chris Klimp, who was younger, more handsome, and he was also apparently from a rich family.
Really? It didn't look like it.
I know, because he moves in with Sandy after, murder. Robin recalls, like, first meeting Chris when she was a kid and being like, oh, Gary's gonna beat his little butt. Like, she says something funny, like Gary, she's like, she said that Chris was like a branch and Gary was the whole tree.
Yeah.
So the relationship with Gary by this point isn't going good at all. Gary confides in one friend that, uh, that like she's been passing bad checks. He said he tells his friend that he got arrested for passing bad checks, and he finds out that it was Sandy. Sandy was passing bad checks in his name, and that he was like, I got to file for divorce. And then, of course, that was the last time that person saw Gary alive. The more interesting story, of course, is the time that Gary brought his gentleman's rifle over to a friend's house and said, put this somewhere because I'm scared that Sandy might kill me with it.
I think that was like a few days before this, before he died.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the last things. Was. And he talks about how, he cracks it open and there's a bullet in the chamber still.
And he says, this is a loaded weapon. And he says, no, I always empty it. He says, like, I empty it when I keep it. He says, no, there's a shell in here.
Yeah, it's like gunpowder fell right out of it. And I guess it was a dud, right?
He gets a, what do you call them?
Pliers?
Yeah, some pliers. And he grabs the end and he pulls it out and the gunpowder falls out. He says, no, this is a loaded shell. Like, this could have killed you. And he's like, he realized she pulled the trigger when she had it in his stomach.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah.
And he says, if that was a good round, I would be dead right now.
Yep.
And then the guy proceeds to say, that was the last time I saw Gary.
Yeah. This is fucking gnarly. She
tried to murder him.
Yeah. After that, he heard Gary gone missing. Coworkers start talking about how as soon as Gary hadn't been to work for a couple days, they explained it like Gary couldn't afford to miss work. Like he couldn't lose that money.
He had to work every day. Yeah, he had to work every day. Yeah, he couldn't just like not show up.
So 2 days without coming to work, and then when it becomes 4 days, they're just like, all right, we're looking for a body. Like they know who Sandy, they know about Sandy, and they're like, all right, like we're just thinking the worst.
And I believe Brandy even says that Gary was a good person. He just got mixed up with the wrong person.
She does say
he was a good guy
about her mom. The wrong person. So yeah. So May 11th, 1999, Gary disappears. May 13th is when the police are finally notified.
So Gary disappears.
Yeah, McCullough, the boyfriend.
Yeah.
So the sheriff goes to Gary's house to look around for him when they see like a cow wandering around. So they grab the cow and they're going to go put him back in the bin, the pen. When Sandy and Lena pull up. And they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And then she's like, hey, people say that Gary's missing. Like, you want to tell us something? And she's like, yeah, well, he hasn't been here in a couple days. He went to go get a rooster, right?
Yeah, get a rooster.
He went to go get a rooster in Diamond, Missouri, and he didn't come back. Never came back. Yeah, that's her excuse. And she, like, reluctantly then files, like, a missing persons report, right?
Like, yeah, he's like, do you want to file a missing
persons report? She's like, yeah, I'll get around to it.
I guess I should do that. No, she's like, I guess I should do that.
Those excuses are actually pretty legit, you know, if you think about it. It's like, he left, never came
back. He went to go get a rooster. That makes perfect sense. Just as much sense as Lena went to Florida with a boyfriend no one's ever heard of and didn't take a thing, not even her baby.
Hey, how are you going to legally, like, dispute that?
I mean, not if you burn the fucking body, bones and all.
I'm just saying. God.
So a week later, they fucking knock on Sandy's door. They're like, hey, we're going to look around because this is Gary's place and you're a suspicious bitch. And they don't find a single anything. Speck or a hair or anything to prove that Gary even has lived there?
Wow.
Let alone had ever been there.
Yeah. They said that it looked like he didn't even live there at all. Like that's crazy.
And they do find Chris Klimp's checkbook there, though.
Yeah, they find that I guess he moved in. Yeah, so basically all traces of Gary, like clothes, belongings, they've just been thrown away, just like non-existent. And at this point, they ask Sandy to take a polygraph.
And she says, find a body and I'll take a polygraph.
Yeah.
With that raspy voice.
I'm giving her that voice because she's fucking pure and the sheriff, shit.
The sheriff says he knew at that point.
It's going to be hard to find this body.
Basically, yeah.
This motherfucker is confident. So Mike Epperle is the sheriff. And he pretty much finds out pretty quickly that Sandy's boyfriend, Chris Klimp, moved in just days after Gary goes missing. The kids, like, wouldn't be interviewed. Like, Lena brainwashed all of them into not saying a goddamn thing. Robin remembers Lena telling her specifically not to say anything about Gary going missing. So let's backtrack to the day that Gary goes missing, because this is from Brandy's perspective.
She says she remembers, like yesterday.
Yeah.
What had happened.
So she gets home from school with the other girls. Mom meets them at the door, which is fucking weird.
Oh, yeah, this is crazy. And she makes an excuse, like, to let them not let them
Yeah,
go. Yeah, they're not allowed in the house. And she tells them, she's like, oh, like, the cat had kittens out in the field. How about you go look for them?
Yeah, go look at the kittens. Go find the kittens.
Fully knowing cat had no kittens out in the field.
There was no adorable kittens waiting. Just murder inside.
Just a cage of cougars.
That's a crime in of itself.
Or ocelot, was Sending it ocelots? Kids?
No, oh, what were they? Bobcats. Just a cage of bobcats.
There's some bobcats out in the field.
I mean, they're kind of kittens, sort of. I mean.
So all the girls ran into the woods to see adorable kittens, except for Brandy. Because,
except for Brandy.
Because like we said, living at Gary's farm, they all had chores, and she had to go milk the cows after school. So she like barged, she forced her way in to get her milking equipment, which is a bucket, I guess. I don't know.
Gloves, powder, butter. In a bucket.
So,
go put my ma'am. You go put my, wait, my gloves on.
If you guys have cows that have tender udders, I highly recommend you guys use udder butter.
Udder butter.
It's an actual.
Hey, my udder butter.
It's an actual product.
So what she saw when she goes into the house is her mom on the floor with a fucking bucket of bleach scrubbing the floor vigorously.
And she also notes that her mom had her hair up, which she never did. I guess because she'd been working. She was probably sweating.
Working.
You know, I got daughters. I got a wife. I know what it's like. They when Jocelyn is like working in the yard, or the girls are swimming or something, and they just get really hot. They put their hair up. You know, they're sweating. They want to. The hair makes them hotter. So yeah, it looks like she had been working and scrubbing for a while. So
also. Later that night, she sits down all the girls when they're eating dinner and tells them, Gary went to go get a rooster and you had spaghetti for dinner. And if anybody asks you what happened tonight, that's all you will say.
That's all that happened.
So that night, Lena was told to keep make sure all the kids didn't come out of their bedrooms. She falls asleep at the door, but Robin's old enough to be like curious. So she sees out the window, and what she sees is clearly her mom and Chris struggling with something wrapped up, and she's like, it was Gary, because she saw the boots.
She saw his boots, and she knew that it was...
She couldn't say exactly what he was wrapped in, but she saw Gary's boots, and she said she was terrified. God, imagine seeing that as a little kid.
Remembering that.
My mother's a serial killer.
Another thing that Lena and Sandy were doing to the other girls was freaking them out and scaring them into believing if they did say the truth or said anything, or knew anything about what happened to Gary, talked to anybody about it, that they would all be separated and they'd never be able to see each other again. So I think this is also something that kept these girls quiet. I mean, a lot of them were little kids.
And that was mostly Lena that took charge of that. She said that Robin, I think it was Robin, she said her big thing was that they stay together as a family.
Yeah.
The sisters.
Which is freaky.
Because otherwise, this would be a lost love story.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Mom murdered, and then, yeah, they all grew up, but not with a murder mom. So I'm just going to say it. After Sandy and Chris murder Gary, the family moves to St. Louis for a year. That's when Chris and Sandy get married, and then they move to Sligo County, or Sligo, Sligo
which is,
City.
Which is a little, southwest? Of St. Louis?
Yeah. And at this point, Lena's a little older and she becomes more distant. She gets a job. She's working a lot. Some of the other sisters say that she would just kind of she'd just be like staring at nothing and just, I don't know. Like, I feel like the guilt was riding on her. You know, she's getting older, realizing what the fuck she did or what she was a part of, I guess is more accurate. And she actually, one of her friends says that when they first started hanging out that she wouldn't even touch a beer, she wouldn't even drink, but then she started experimenting with drugs and alcohol and stuff.
Went straight to angel dust.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Like, they don't say that she was like a drug addict, but she did start like finding ways to, you know,
get numb.
Yeah,
numb
there yourself? You go. There you go. So apparently she at some point confides in a boyfriend and tells him what she knows about Gary's murder, and this convinces her to go and tell Albert, to just confess to Albert, who's Gary's brother, who her, the first stepdad we talked about.
And this story is haunting, the story that she recounts to him.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. So she goes to, she goes by Albert's. It's June 26, 2003. Albert just got a new recorder. At this point, Lena's 17 years old.
he just got a talk boy.
He just got a talk boy, yeah. He's like, finally, this movie's been out for 10 years. Is this Home Alone? I'm getting myself a talk boy.
Where they put the mint on the pillows at night.
So she's
Kevin McAllister, the father.
The father. So
I'd like a hotel room, please.
So she's 17 at this time. Albert straight up asks her who killed Gary. And she says, Mom, she says he was sitting on a couch eating scrambled eggs and she shot him in the head two, maybe three times. And then she wrapped him up in plastic and then tied it with hay strings, dragged him into the bedroom until all the girls came home. And then she made dinner, put all the girls to sleep, and they took the body.
Yeah, this is where it gets a little confusing for me, too.
Yeah, apparently she didn't want Lena to see, but Lena had already seen the body. And then she talks later in the recording about helping them burn the body, helping sort of. Helping them
burn the body, yeah. And she threw, she said she burned her fingers.
Yeah, her fingertips.
Throwing remains
on like out. On like ashes and bones.
Yeah, and like they threw his remains out everywhere. They basically scattered him all over.
And of course, there's no way to verify any of this because they burnt everything that the dude
she owned. She said he's gone. There's nothing left. He's gone.
And yeah, she said that they put the ashes in buckets and spread it everywhere. Like yeah. All around. Like, what the fuck? That's some like straight up, like where did they come up with this shit? In the recording, she's like, maybe this makes me a bad person because she talks about burning her fingers on bones. And then Gary's just like,
no, she was 15.
And Albert's just like, you was a kid. You was just doing what your mom told you to. You feel bad for her, man. So Albert takes the tape to the cops the next day. And then, of course, Sandy lawyers Lena up. She gets a lawyer and makes her recant her whole confession. Tells Lena to fucking recant her whole confession. And she does it. She takes it back. Walks it back. And that's when the cop says knowing and proven are two different things.
Yeah. And Lena's tape, basically the tape that the brother puts in for the civil case is like inadmissible. They can't use it.
Yeah, which is completely ridiculous. And Brandy talks about how it was hard for her to believe her mother was like capable of murder. But then apparently Lena opens up one day, tells her older sister about how Gary died. And then the next day, Brandy gets in a huge fight with her mom and threatens to tell the cops everything she knows. And that's when this crazy fucked up story happens where in the middle of the night, she's like, go to the car. And they take Brandy, Chris and Sandy take Brandy in the truck, drive her out in the middle of nowhere. Chris gets out and points a gun right at her head. And she's sitting in the bed of the truck. She says she jumps out and she's like staring right at her mom and her mom's not making eye contact. Doesn't even look at her.
Yeah.
And she thinks,
no, she's there. Doesn't do anything.
And she thinks a split second, like, I'm just going to, hopefully the door's unlocked and I can just go and hug my mom. She can't shoot us both. She was scared to run. She's like, they're going to shoot me if I run. And she just hugged her mom so tightly and said, please don't hurt me. And then Sandy says, please don't hurt my baby.
Yeah, that's so messed up, man.
Ugh. So fucking dark.
As a parent, dude, you want to protect your kids and like to let some just random asshole.
Not only that, but just to stare off into space like as if you're not even there.
Please don't let him hurt me is what she told her mom. And then her mom said, please don't hurt my baby.
Yeah.
Jesus, what a evil.
What a terrible woman.
So in November 2006, Lena has a baby, Coulter. And she starts working like multiple jobs and she's trying to do everything to provide for this kid. She wants to get out under Sandy's wing.
It looks like she did a pretty good job. It looks like she blended up some chicken nuggets and gave it to him in a bottle. And it looks like he goes hunting every day. He looked like an old man.
Yeah, yeah. That baby.
He was a very healthy baby.
Yeah, that's the nicest way to put it. Yeah, yeah.
You gotta see the baby.
You gotta see the baby.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. I won't say anything. So she's like super, like, you know, this is like a new lease on life. Like, she's going to work her ass off and support this kid. And she's really excited about it. She had plans on getting married and finding someone to be role model for a kid and all this stuff. And, you know, things were looking up. And she, like we said, she wanted to be financially independent of Sandy. I mean, who wouldn't? And possibly maybe tell the truth someday, get that off her chest. So a little bit after this, the family being the McCulloughs, they file for civil case for wrongful death. They're going to sue Sandy, Chris, and Lena as an accessory for the wrongful death of Gary McCullough. And their hope being that, like, you know, once this goes through, that Lena could be let off the hook because she was a kid and just doing what her mom said. But that's not the way it worked out, like they say in the episode.
Right.
When they actually go to deliver the summons after not being able to do it for a while, they go to Sandy and Chris's place. Lena's nowhere to be seen. They ask where Lena is, and that's when Sandy tells the story of her running off to Florida with a fictional Florida boyfriend, not taking a single personal item.
Yeah, and again, just to go back to the beginning, at this point, she was living with her boyfriend, Jason Bryant, right?
Yeah, and this guy says, she went out to somebody in Florida, and that's what Sandy said, so I just believe it, which is kind of weird and shady. As soon as Albert hears that Lena's missing, he knows that something's wrong. Like, he's like, okay, this is happening again. And it seems like all of Lena's sisters were on that same boat. Like, okay, here we go again.
Yeah.
Robin tells the cops, I know my mom's done it again. Like, literally. And Sandy was
Oops, I did it again.
Killed a loved one.
There
got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby. Sorry. I don't want to be condoning bad jokes, but I did. Just kidding. Okay.
Thank you for finishing my sandwich.
Finish each other's sandwiches.
That was good. I like that. Another fucked up thing is Robin was putting missing persons posters all over the town.
And then she gave her little sister's money to take them down. Sandy
was paying. Yeah,
I'll give you a nickel for every paper you came back. Come back with.
That's fucking dirty.
And she's like, "Why would she do that?
Pure evil." Yeah, if you haven't murdered your daughter, why would you do that? Another thing I want to talk about is the Lena's apartment. Which actually, maybe I'll give Dan this part because we found some other shit on Reddit about Lena's apartment building, which wasn't discussed in the episode. I don't know if you want to read it or if you just want to kind of summarize it.
I'm not that
innocent. Oh my God. I didn't think about that part.
Who knew, man? Who knew that Britney Spears would come in our podcast?
Oh, baby, baby. So Lena's apartment.
So someone posted in one of the Reddit forums for this case. Should I read the whole thing or should I just read the apartment part?
Go for it. Read the whole thing.
Yeah.
If it's bad, then we can edit.
He read it to me. It's great.
Just watched the episode Missing Witnesses concerning my uncle Gary.
This is a Reddit post from someone who's apparently related to the
case.
Yeah.
So just watch the episode Missing Witness concerning my uncle Gary McCullough and my cousin Lena. It's hard to watch. First off, there are way more family members than the episode lets on. Gary had daughters from a previous marriage that did not appear in the episode at all, and I feel that their perspective to the story is just as important. You can see absolutely. The other daughters as blurred out faces in one of the family photos shown during the episode.
And I was wondering about those two also.
So there you go.
Yeah, I kind of
as well that. As Gary had other brothers living in the area, all who equally hated Sandy. Second off, the family was
So it wasn't just Gary and his brother; they had other brothers
in the area that
and they
didn't like
all,
her.
And they were all at one point married to Sandy. No, I'm just kidding.
Imagine. God, that'd be terrible.
Second off, the family was so distraught and broken that it literally killed my grandfather. He had a heart attack shortly thereafter due to grief and sorrow, not knowing what happened to his son.
He was also 99 years old, but it was grief and sorrow. Just kidding. That's me adding jokes. I'm sorry.
That is the only beginning of the ripple effects, and I care not to elaborate more. Third, the apartment where Lena lived in, where when she disappeared. Sandy randomly showed up there the day Lena disappeared. Sandy told Lena's boyfriend that she had ran off with another man and left her kid behind. Soon after, she ran off to Florida, quote-unquote. The landlord did a complete renovation due to bloodstains on the carpet.
That's the part. The
landlord quoted...
What?
Yeah.
The landlord was quoted saying it looked like a dog had been butchered up because the carpet was pulled up and a giant bloodstain was found on the wood floor below the carpet, as well as within the carpet itself. The landlord disposed of the old carpet and didn't notify.
Why?
The landlord disposed of the old carpet and didn't notify the police because he was unaware of the circumstances behind Lena's disappearance. All he knew was Lena moved away. To make things even more interesting, soon after, the entire apartment building was burned down to the ground.
What? Dude, she totally burned that apartment down.
You think so? Oh, Dan actually did some research to prove that the apartment actually did burn down.
Did you find
like a year or?
It doesn't. It says in April of 2006, I think, is what the article said.
That's fucked. Let me
double check.
That's fucked.
And there's a photo of the foundation. It says last known residence of Lena Chaplin was an apartment building in Steelville. It burned down to the ground after Chaplin's disappearance in 2006.
Which is, hey, nobody can go check those floorboards for that blood.
Where did she, yeah, no kidding. In Stony Brook?
Everything she did, every crime she committed, she did it so badly and obviously, but she just was so good about getting rid of the evidence.
I kind of suspect that she might have been involved in the fire.
I didn't think about it until Eli was like, she burned that building down. I just thought it was like bad juju, you know?
You can't do DNA testing on ashes. Bone fragments, yes, but ashes, no.
But not when the bone fragments are spread over. God, didn't it say something about all the ashes were put into buckets and spread?
They don't say that, but they do they say that? I know they show a little like something reenactment like of like a little kid's hand tossing ashes out of a moving truck on a highway.
Yeah. Yeah, they show that.
Papa would have been scattered on the highway. He said the roads were always his home.
Oh, that's sad. Gary McCullough.
I was going to say, is Gary a really good guy? I was like, wait, never mind. I'm thinking Chris, the dude fucking that put a shotgun in a fucking girl's head.
Yeah, Chris Klimp, the... Prince
Gary, good guy. Chris, bad guy. That's
crazy. From all accounts,
did you see the picture? You saw the picture, obviously, Dan. Right? This is the Salem News Online. They show a picture of like her, the remains of the apartment.
Wow,
it's just like the foundation, like it's literally burnt to the ground.
Yeah, there's like a bridge, like a white bridge,
and that's it.
The last known residence of an apartment outside of Steelville was burned to the ground in the years after Chapin's disappearance.
Years? Oh, so it wasn't right away?
No.
The year after.
Weird.
Damn.
But, I mean, that still could be... That is still probable. I mean, a year after?
She's not that innocent.
No. But, yeah, but like I was saying, like, it's crazy how obviously and blatantly she commits all these crimes and then... She covers the evidence, so it's just like everybody knows that she did it, but she's just like, I'm here. I'll be here, and you can't do anything about it. So the motives, as they give us in the episode, are pretty good. One, this civil suit is coming up. They're going to get sued. If Lena just talks and tells what she knows, that could be terrible for her and Chris concerning the murder of Gary. Two, and we haven't talked about this yet, but... She always wanted a boy. She had six daughters, and apparently she was overly obsessed with Coulter, Lena's son. And she even like...
Oh, yeah. She was obsessed with making him call her mom.
Yeah.
Mom.
And like we were saying, Lena was working so much, like, you know, multiple jobs trying to provide for her kids so she could get out from under Sandy's wing.
Prime opportunity.
But guess who's watching Coulter this whole time? Sandy. So she gets the son she wanted, and she gets to remove the main witness in her and her and Chris murdering Gary. So, I mean, the motives are pretty clear. There's also an anti-motive, which is it's her fucking daughter, but that doesn't seem to matter to her because she's obviously
a pure monster. The reason that's significant is the reason that the Brandy story is so significant is that she's capable of killing her daughter or having her daughter killed, even in her presence, which is insane.
So fucked up.
I found this. So thanks to Dan's article that he sent, I found another article. Which, let me make sure it's not, let me make sure it's a little different. Hold on.
Spew it, honey.
Yeah. Okay. So I found out that there's a statement from Jason Bryant, her boyfriend at the time, and says the last time he saw Lena was on Valentine's Day in 2006. So he says he gave her a kiss on the cheek and he left and he said he'd be back that evening. When he got back from work that day, Sandy and two people were clearing all of Lena's belongings out of the apartment in Valentine's Day.
This case is so frustrating.
That's when Sandy tells him, "Oh, Lena ran off, so we're just going to go ahead and get rid of her stuff."
It's so fucking stupid.
And it says that she just left with all her daughter's belongings.
And then apparently just left him out on the porch or something. So weird.
Yeah.
So once the trial actually starts, the civil suit against for wrongful death that the McCulloughs filed, all of the daughters take turns taking the stand, just implicating their mom. The jurors were apparently wiping tears from their eyes while Brandy took the stand. Apparently Brandy's was the most, you know, I'm sure she just told the story of having a gun pointed in her face, being a teenage girl. So they lose, obviously. They're ordered to pay $7 million to the McCulloughs, to Gary's daughter specifically. And yeah, they don't go to jail or anything, right? Because it's just a wrongful death suit. Like they just, right?
I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
I don't think so. I mean,
I think they would just have to pay out the $7 million settlement.
To this day, not a single fucking cent has been paid to them.
Nothing. Yeah.
Sandy and Chris apparently divorced in 2014 and she's remarried and still has Coulter, who would be 14 or 15 now, and there's no way he doesn't know about Netflix and doesn't know about this show, you know?
Dude, but what about right? Chris?
Yeah,
what
that's
about
what I'm Chris? Thinking, man. I thought that same thing.
I don't know about Chris Klimp.
They got divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
So
she's married to a guy named John Wink, or sorry, not John, Joe Wink. Mm-hmm. That's her new husband.
Yeah. Another thing in this Reddit post from the person who was talking about the apartment, they do say that they're not really, like, no matter if we know Sandy's guilty, she's still taking care of a teenage boy, and to give much information about, you know, where she is or who she's with. It's like, they're like, we fucking hate Sandy. She's pure, you know, she's a monster. We're not fans of her, but she still is taking care. She still has this teenage boy, and we don't want the, you know, people being harassed, and because what people say online and, you know, what people do can affect people. So I don't even know if we want to say the name of her husband, but she should be in jail, and this kid should be with his aunts, his many loving aunts. Who have pictures.
They show pictures of like of the sisters with Coulter, his aunts.
Yeah.
And they said Brandy says the last time she saw him was when he was five.
Yeah, when he was in kinder.
So I did see that the apartment owner, hearing about Lena going missing, he said it was like, this is a quote from him. It says, "It was like my whole brain exploded." He said, "If I had known, I would have kept all that evidence. But after so many years go by, and after the building burns, there just isn't anything left." That was straight from the apartment owner.
I just picture Sandy just like wiping her hands, just like, yes, like she got away with it again.
And law enforcement does say that they did talk to the apartment owner, that he was interviewed after Chapin was missing, and that he made no mention of bloodstains on the carpet or anything suspicious.
Apparently, Coulter was homeschooled for a lot of his younger years at first.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sandy was scared that he would find out who his mother was or who he was or that Sandy wasn't his mother or I don't know. At the end of the episode, Brandy says that she just hates that her mother wakes up every day with a smile on her face, raising her nephew.
Raising, oh, dude, that's so sinister.
Yeah, oh, I know the way she says it, like.
That's some fucking villain shit right there.
She stole that child. It's like a fucking, like, grim fairy tale, but, like, white trash. So towards the end of the episode, they, like, they go around to some of Chris and Sandy's old houses, and Robin tells a story about this tree, and she says that when they first moved in there, Sandy was like, oh, hey, Robin, you know, look at that tree. Like, that's where I buried the dog. And she always thought that was weird because Sandy had told her that they buried the dog at the other house on top of a hill.
Yeah, in Sligo. The Sligo home was the one that they sold right after Lena went missing. And then they moved to the other home.
Yeah.
The new home. I don't remember what county it's in, but that's where Robin says.
The hill.
So she was referencing the Sligo home when Lena was still alive, when they lived there, when she got missing.
Yeah.
That they sold. So they sold the Sligo home 4 months after Lena went missing in June, and they moved into a new place.
And then she thinks that Lena might be buried at this new place, and they have some, like, they do some, like, weird ground technology.
Penetrating radar.
Yeah.
Yeah, with, like, ultrasound.
It's kind of
GPR.
Cool. Is that really what
it's
called?
I've seen it done in some other stuff.
Yeah, GPR, ground penetrating radar.
So they look to see if there's any, like, you know, anything noticeable in the earth, and they don't find anything. And I'm not surprised. Like if what Lena said about Gary's body being like completely burned and eviscerated and spread everywhere, this would be the second time they've done this. Like, I'm not surprised that her body's not buried under a tree. Of course it's not. The Sligo house is where, Brandy was wandering around, right? The one that they lived at when Lena died. And she talks about this hand dug well that just isn't there. And I thought it was weird that they check under that tree, but I guess maybe they didn't get permission to check where that hand dug well was.
Yeah.
Or no one even proves if that, like, no one's even there to, like, prove if there was even a well there. So I don't know. That was like a little.
Brandy is just going off kind of like her
childhood memory.
I'm pretty sure it was here. I think it was right here, kind of. And it looks like it was, like, you know, dug up. But like you said, like, if
they didn't just bury her body, like, we know what they did to Gary.
No, if I
murdered,
exactly like you said, if I got away with it once and it worked, I know I'd do the same thing again.
Yeah.
It's like, why do another method?
If it ain't broke, easier? Don't fix it.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you're going to do the exact same thing you did the first time and be done with it.
No justice. I mean, apparently Sandy's just raising this kid on her own. I mean, I really want to give, like, credit and, you know, my heart goes out to Robin and Brandy and all their sisters and all the terrible shit they've been through. But again, I also feel like Gary's family, the McCulloughs, besides Albert, don't really, like, get a lot of attention in this documentary. I mean, like you said, they probably didn't want to be a part of it, but I just want to, you know, my heart goes out to Gary's daughters. It's just terrible. It's just like so unnecessary. This one woman, the way she manipulates these men, and she, you know, like, I mean, I don't think Chris Klimp would be a murderer without her. And I guess he's not a convicted murderer. So according to the law, he isn't, but I don't
know. What's he in for? Cause he is in jail.
But is he really?
He's in jail right now for an unrelated charge. He's in jail for something else.
Whoa. Let's find out.
Whoa.
How do you spell his last name?
It's K. Klimp. Chris with a K. And it's K-L-E-M-P. Yeah. Like they knew KK. Chris Klimp may or may not be in prison. We can't confirm it, but I don't know. It checks out. If anybody knows anything, get at us. But yeah, I mean, this case sucks. The only unsolved mystery is why this terrible monster is not already rotting in prison.
I honestly think the key to this thing is Chris. I think if they get him to crack, then game over.
Yeah, he doesn't owe her shit.
No, they're done. They're they're separated.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he probably, but who knows, man? He might, she was manipulative.
He might be scared shitless.
Yeah, she was manipulative, you know? She could have been, she could have not committed a single murder, you know? It could have just been him. But according to Lena, while eating scrambled eggs, she walked into the room and shot Gary in the head. So she's a cold
Nothing
bitch.
Is showing up on BOP.gov. Sorry.
So we can't.
All we know is there's a mugshot. I remember reading an article maybe earlier in the weeks that he was in prison, but. Again, I could be wrong. The internet changes so much.
Yeah, it's hard to prove
And there's
anything.
So much fake news now.
Every single news outlet, except for some weird redheaded guy's Twitter, is fake. Just follow the man on Twitter and get your real news. So Chris Klimt may or may not be in jail, but either way, murderous piece of shit. No one's disagreeing with that, but would he have been without Sandy? That's an interesting question. But one thing I do know is that Sandy should be in jail for, she should have been in jail for the past 15 years. That's all we know here. This case might actually change. You know, we might find some new stuff. We might have some new witnesses, you know, who knows? But yeah, we'll be back next week. We're doing season 5 of the old Unsolved Mysteries. That is on Peacock Network, which is a really cool app. That's on YouTube. It's on Pluto, Tubi. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on the original Unsolved Mysteries is on everywhere. So catch up on those classics. We're starting season 5. Or you can go back and catch up with us. Keep in mind, if you start from season 1, episode 1, you don't get worse at podcasting. You just get better. So give us a break in those early episodes.
Hey, by the way, there was just a small little nugget. They haven't said exactly what they are, but Netflix producers did say that after this story dropped, they did get 24 credible tips within 24 hours of the series debuting.
We might have
on this case.
With Alonzo Brooks and with this case, I think we might actually have some new updates soon, which is very exciting.
If you're in the area, if you know anything, unsolved.com.
Yeah, we don't have to tell you. You've seen it.
If you see something, say something.
Contact us. The Stack Pack, your boys.
Yeah.
We'll put that.
Your boys.
We'll put that.
I think we're guessing that the second volume of Unsolved Mysteries is probably going to come out in October.
They did say that it's going to be
this year, but like quarter four.
Yep. So at the end, I'm guessing maybe during Christmas, Thanksgiving ish.
Well, they promised ghosts, so I'm hoping for Halloween. Maybe we'll see.
I'm guessing Halloween as well.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So
what we're going to do, we're going to go back to the old stuff.
Yeah. We're going back to season 5.
Season 5.
If you want to come back and listen to this, it'll be in between season 4 and 5. And I think as soon as they drop new stuff, we're probably going to immediately cover it because we just can't wait.
Dude, it's so good.
The Robert Stack episodes aren't going anywhere, but it's really fun when the stuff is like freshly streaming on Netflix and everyone's watching and all eyes are on it and we're covering it.
We'd be stupid to wait till the end to cover these.
Yeah, exactly. So we had so much fun. We really like this new Unsolved Mysteries. Thanks to Dan and
Netflix, if you're listening. We need more, like a lot more.
Yeah, like, it's so good.
Just keep it coming. Shut up, take our
but
money.
No lost loves. No lost loves.
Yeah, we don't need no. We don't need no stinking lost loves. Unless there's murder involved, we don't need no stinking. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Thanks to Dan and Eli, my buddies as always, and thanks to Alon for joining us as well, sitting in on our podcastical journey through the new Unsolved Mysteries. For every mystery, there's someone somewhere who knows the truth. Perhaps that someone is listening or watching, and perhaps that someone is you. Like we said, unsolved.com. Have a good week, and we'll be back. We'll be back next week with 1992, Robert Stack. See ya.
Going back in time.
Back in time.
That's what I was going to do.
No, I was going to sing. Oops, I did it again.
Oh yeah, that's the Sandy. The Sandy theme song.
A loved one.
Do your work tomorrow.
Got lost in the game.
A loved one.
Ooh, baby, baby. I'm not that innocent.
Oh, baby, baby. Yeah, you're not, Sandy.